Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello, welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. Thanks for joining me. I hope you had an easy breezy week. Mine? Well, my mom is still in the rehabilitation facility. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks, I guess, now. And for the most part, things are going well. The physical therapy department is stellar, and that's why she's there. I mean, they're really doing an excellent job. But as usual, though, some not-so-safe actions taking place. But I think I'll save all of that for after she gets out of there. Right now, we're in the midst of finding someone who can come to her home a bit in the morning and then again to help her with dinner once we spring her from this place. Her health journey has become my journey, too, and sometimes she and I are just downright exhausted. And I keep wondering what we're supposed to be learning from all of this. But maybe just my sharing with you is purpose enough, so that perhaps you can learn from our experience and not have to go through it yourself. If that's it, then I'm okay with it. Well, this morning, as I was cleaning all of the cat litter boxes, thanks to the 11 cats who found me and decided that I'd be a cool mom, I was wondering what healthcare hazard to talk about. Just about that time, I had to open a brand new giant box of kitty litter. I tried to move it from the garage to the basement, and I thought, what do these little old ladies do? You know, the cat ladies? Not me, of course. When they buy cat litter? You need to hire 2 men and a truck to move it from your car to your garage, and then what? You either need a mover's dolly and a ramp, or a Hoyer lift to get it into the house. And then, they are sealed in such a way that they can survive a nuclear attack, a volcano, and a tornado all in the same day. I had to find some sort of sharp object, and I spent the next 10 minutes looking for a screwdriver. Nope, couldn't find one. How about scissors? Nope, they almost broke as I jammed them into the container. Well, the container says push here and bend back. Really? Push? With what? I finally found an old chisel and a hammer, and I beat the thing until it opened. Then, bend back. Well, the only thing that bended back was my finger. Meantime, the cats were circling and dangling and weaving between my arms and legs. And finally, when I got it open, I had to lift it again to pour it. As I rested the side of the box on the litter box, the box slid out from under it and the litter sprayed everywhere. Well, I have no idea why I'm telling you this, but I do know that if someone out there has a solution, a way to economically buy cat litter that can actually be moved, opened, and poured without injury, you'll become a millionaire. Oh, and heaven help me if I decide to search for an easy open, easy pour cat litter on the internet, because that will lead to hundreds of unwanted pop-up ads and emails in my inbox all about cats. What am I talking about? Well, stay tuned, because right now, it's really time for the healthcare hazard of the week. I spy with my big data eye that someone is telling a lie. Are you still buying cigarettes, but tell your doctor that you quit and are managing your asthma? Are you searching the internet for every ice cream shop in your county, but tell your doctor that you're on a diet to manage your weight? Well, you can lie no longer. What am I talking about? Some hospitals and health insurers are buying consumers' personal information in order to identify high-risk patients and stop their bad health habits. Now, unless we're living in a basement, we all know that our online activities are tracked. For instance, I've never had a cat, but as I've told you before, a little feral kitten landed on my deck. So I've been searching the internet for information on cats. And now, the inbox of my email is filled with cat coupons. Every website that has advertising on it quickly displays a pop-up ad about cats. I'm getting U.S. Postal Service mail with cat-related goodies, and on and on and on. And now that I'm paying attention to this, I see it happening with almost everything I search for online. So thank you very much. A quick Google search and voila, everyone in the world knows that I'm interested in cats. Now, this goes deeper than annoying pop-up cat ads. The mountain of personal information that is being collected, analyzed, and sold by companies called data brokers is staggering. One of the problems with this is that it's fairly easy to generate a personal profile of you. Where you are, what you like to do, eat, drink, purchase, your bad habits. Here's a relatively common scenario. In a matter of a few minutes online, you might check the weather in Cleveland. Later on, you look for the phone number of your local hairdresser, then look at bathing suit prices, check the 10-day forecast for Florida, and then log off. Well, that's easy to figure out. You're currently in Cleveland, getting ready for a trip to Florida, and need a new bathing suit, and are getting your hair cut before the trip. Soon, you'll be receiving non-solicited emails, pop-up ads, and mail from travel brokers, bathing suit emporiums, and hair salons. Combine this with the wealth of free public information, such as your voter information, real estate transactions, birth certificate, and so on. It's quite easy to create an accurate profile of you, who you are, and what you're all about. But it gets worse. Lots of personal health information can be figured out from your credit or debit card purchase history, which may reveal whether you frequently purchase from the drugstore, eat Chinese food every other day, or have a gym membership. Think I'm exaggerating? Here's a quote from the chairwoman of the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. Quote, "The extent of consumer profiling today means that data brokers often know as much or even more about us than our family and friends, including our online and in-store purchases, our political and religious affiliations, our income and socioeconomic status, and more," unquote. And retailers aren't the only ones who sell your personal information. Magazines sell your subscription information. The Department of Motor Vehicles sells your personal information. Experian, the credit reporting agency, sells lists of parents who are expecting newborns, according to ProPublica. All of this information taken together can suggest a fairly comprehensive portrait of you, your most intimate problems and weaknesses. And don't think for one moment that you are anonymous. Little bits of data called cookies left on your computer, which can include passwords and other identifying information, are often enough to uncover the identity of the user, of you, meaning that all of the stored information could lead to discriminatory outcomes. For example, the Affordable Care Act prevents insurers from denying coverage based on pre-existing conditions. However, they could potentially track your purchases to find just what I mentioned earlier, people lying about their health habits or buying ice cream from every shop in spite of a weight or diabetes diagnosis. But we've gotten quite used to this. Who cares that Amazon makes recommendations based on your previous purchases? But how would you feel if your doctor and insurer did the same? According to an article in Bloomberg called "Your Doctor Knows You're Killing Yourself," you may soon get a call from your doctor if you've let your gym membership lapse, made a habit of picking up candy bars at the checkout counter, or begin shopping at plus-sized stores. That's because some hospitals are starting to use detailed consumer data to create profiles on current and potential patients to identify those most likely to get sick so the hospital can intervene before they do. "What we are looking to find are people before they end up in trouble," said Dr. Doolin, who is also a practicing physician. "The idea is to use big data and predictive models to think about population health and drill down to the individual levels to find someone running into trouble that we can reach out and try to help." Really? Do we really for one moment think that a doctor is staying up at night wondering if Mrs. Clutterbuck is eating Twinkies in bed? Come on. You want to know if Mrs. Clutterbuck is fat? Look at her. Have a human conversation. Get to know her. Why is she eating Twinkies in bed? Because they taste good? Because she's hungry? Because she owns stock in Twinkies? Find out why instead of spy. And speaking of Amazon, let me tell you a story as to why I'm even talking about this today. A colleague of mine recently attended a patient experience conference, and one of the speakers from an insurance company openly shared this story. And upon hearing it, my friend just knew that I'd be most interested to hear what the speaker had to say. He began by saying, "If you think Big Brother is coming, you're wrong. Big Brother is here." He recounted a story about a woman who routinely bought dog food online from Amazon, been doing it for years. Suddenly, she stopped purchasing, and Amazon wanted to know why. They shared this bit of purchasing information with one of the big insurance companies, as they assumed that no purchase meant no more dog. And no more dog means that the poor woman was likely sad, depressed, no longer walking and exercising, and that her health just might be in danger. So out of the blue, the insurance company placed a call to this woman to probe her about the situation. Sure enough, her dog had passed away. Bottom line, they offered to buy her a new dog, give her 6 months of dog obedience training, and coupons, all in the name of preserving her health. Creepy? Can you imagine getting this kind of random telephone call? This intrusion into your privacy under the guise of caring about your health? So why are hospitals doing this? Again, under the Affordable Care Act, hospitals have a big incentive to keep patients healthy because, as we've talked about many times on this program, the law now dictates how they are paid in terms of incentives and penalties. With your health information in hand, they can protect their financial bottom line by sticking their nose in if you are at a supposed risk. Personally, I think this has gone too far. With the electronic medical records and all of the smart fitness trackers, smartwatches, cell phone applications that supposedly are there to help you monitor your calories, your footsteps in a day, your medications, yak. These things connect and interface and basically lay you naked in front of the healthcare world. It's not easy to remain anonymous anymore. Well, I guess you could pay in cash and not use the internet. Don't give any retail store your phone number at checkout. I always make one up. Throw out your cell phone. Or you could Google things that you're not interested in just to create a weird profile. I don't know. Just thought I'd share. I spy with my big data eye that Mrs. Clutterbuck is fat. Let's send her a coupon for a gym membership. Or maybe, just maybe, her doctor might actually talk to her, listen, dig deep. Maybe she wants to be overweight. Maybe something more is going on than just a sensory desire for Twinkies. What have we become when playing I spy with personal data trumps having a relationship? I don't like it. Do you?
Mrs. Clutterbuck down the street thinks it's a bad idea.
After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that's where you can purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate, Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out, and in a positive way. Give a meaningful and useful gift that really says, I care. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, and throw in some of those icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everybody needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com or call me 440-725-5462.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. You're listening to the hottest.
Speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Well, you are listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, always concerned about your health, not only the physical aspects of it, but also searching for ways to become empowered and transformed. So with that, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you talked with someone about your wellness and received the personal attention you deserve? Well, we all know it's rare for anyone to get an hour to work on their goals with a trained professional. Well, today's guest is a health and transformation coach who works one-on-one over the telephone with folks just like you and me, to create a supportive environment while we explore what really works for us. The question is, could one conversation change your life? Well, today we're going to find out, because our special guest is Julie Stiles, a health and transformation coach and theta healing practitioner. She is a graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition and has an MA in Consciousness Studies from John F. Kennedy University. Her commitment to changing the way illness and health are viewed in this country is reflected in all aspects of what she does, including her newest endeavor, the podcast Autoimmune Adventures. And I am happy to bring her to you, so let's get started. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thanks so much, Pat. I'm really happy to be here.
We're happy that you're here as well. Lots to talk about today. And the last time you were on the show, we talked about your own personal health journey, growing up with asthma and later being diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, alopecia areata, that affects the hair follicles. And for those who missed it, some commonly heard of autoimmune diseases are lupus, fibromyalgia, MS, celiac disease, rheumatoid arthritis, just to name a few. And during that conversation, we talked more about the clinical side of these conditions, and we just touched on the, well, I guess you'd call it the mental, emotional, the personal growth and self-development aspects that can really empower us to alter the medical and physical experience. So with that in mind, I'd like to start with that, Julie, if that's all right with you. So how has your experience fueled your interest in helping others to take back their power over their well-being?
Yeah, I'd be happy to start there, Pat. As I said last time, you know, my whole experience growing up was really about giving power over to a doctor, especially when I was young. And just that's kind of the culture that we're in anyway, is that the doctor is the one who has the power. And then especially after I got the autoimmune disease where, you know, I felt betrayed by my body, I couldn't really answer why the question of why I had gotten it, which I actually don't think is a helpful question anyway. But I felt helpless to do anything about it. So it felt like the only option actually was to give up power to the doctors. It's really been a journey for me to realize just the amount of power that's really contained in even like the tiny choices that, you know, I make every single day. You know, when I talk about kind of taking back power over our well-being, it's like, you know, that power is really about being able to influence our own experience of health and wellness. And it's been such an important part of my own journey that it's something that I feel really, you know, really called and passionate to bring to other people.
And your experience is very relatable, because whether it's a huge disease or whether it's just something small, we all have that tendency, I think, just to hand over the power and to feel helpless. And them thinking about taking back your power, we're not talking about performing self-surgery or anything. We're talking about some little things. So what are the barriers that people face that perhaps might keep them from taking positive action around their health?
Well, I think there's a lot of barriers. And one of them, like I said, is just that sense of, you know, it's not something that we are taught to do. And because we're not taught to do it, it's really something that I think we don't understand. You know, we don't understand the importance of kind of every choice and action that we take. And the figure that they say is that around 40% of our actions every day is really driven by habit, which the definition of a habit is, it's an action that's been taken over by a part of your brain so you can think about something else. You know, like you brush your teeth the same way every day and you don't even have to think about it. Because so much of what we do is turned over to habit, it's like we don't even think about it anymore. So we don't even see that we're making choices. And so we underestimate how much those choices really affect us. And, you know, another one is kind of related to it, is just not knowing how to change. What I talk about when I talk about taking back power is very much around kind of lifestyle choices. And when it comes to those kinds of choices, we often don't know really kind of how to, we kind of fumble around trying to make that kind of change. And the third one is just not being willing to take responsibility for our choices and our actions, because it's so much easier to blame something or someone else. You know, it's like, oh, I have this autoimmune disease and it's because of my genes, you know, it's genetic, or it's because of this external situation. And that's a lot easier than the alternative, which is to really be willing to accept the responsibility for the choices, you know. And for me, this has been a really tough journey. It's like I had to really accept responsibility for the choices that I had made that led me to the level of stress I had, you know, before I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. I said I felt betrayed by my body, but it really was, eventually it was, you know, coming to a realization that the betrayal was actually one that I had, you know, done on myself. Like, I had betrayed myself in a lot of ways, and that's really painful to look at. If we aren't willing to do that, it's like, you know, it's like a refusal of our past that turns into a refusal of our future.
Wow, this is huge, because I don't think people really think of this in terms of words as you're putting them today. We just do just blindly go along with what we typically know, our habits. Never really give a lot of thought to our habits and how that creates such a comfort level for us. And it's not maybe until we have something wrong with us that we're shaken out of that. And then at that point, as you said, you have to be willing to do something about it. So with that in mind, can you give us an overview of areas in which we actually can make some new choices?
To divide this up a little bit, just to make it a little bit easier, I think of it in terms of like what we put into our body, what we put on our body, what we do with our body, and kind of what's just around our body. And so to take each one of those, what you put in your body is really important. When you think about it literally, it's like what you eat and what you drink literally turns into the cells in your body. Like, what are your cells made of? You know, are your cells made of soda and junk food, or are they made of, you know, real food? If somebody's still eating the standard American diet, there's so much that can be done just to, you know, shift to more, you know, kind of whole foods. There's a doctor that basically says there's junk and there's food. There is no junk food. You know, it's like there's either junk or there's real food. But there's also things like how you eat that I think are really important. You know, it's like, are you eating in front of your computer, you know, at your desk? Are you eating in a really stressful environment, or are you taking the time to really enjoy your food? And then there's also how much you eat. You know, in this culture, there's this tendency to have huge plates and huge portions. So there's a lot of different aspects of food that we can really, you know, just take back our own power. And it's really key, because food is, you know, an aspect of nourishment. And then, of course, just with what we drink. I think people generally in this culture don't drink enough water. You know, there's a lot of soda and a lot of coffee and, you know, caffeinated drinks. And, you know, water, like our body is around 70, 75% water. So drinking good quality water is really important. So that's kind of the aspect of what we put into our body. And then there's just, you know, what we put on our body. That, you know, there's so many personal care products that people use. And most of these products have highly toxic chemicals in them that people are putting directly on their skin. And this is moisturizers, it's perfumes, it's, you know, makeup, it's deodorants. But when you think about, you know, if for 30 years or 20 years you've been putting these products directly on your skin, and a lot of these products actually have chemicals that help them penetrate even more deeply into your skin. You know, where are you using products that you might be able to switch to healthier alternatives? Because, of course, these days there are plenty of healthier alternatives that aren't using these really toxic ingredients. And then there's what you do with your body. So are you breathing? You know, are you taking deep, good breaths during the day? Are you moving enough? But when I talk about movement, I'm not just talking about exercise, because, you know, even small movements can be really important for health and well-being. You know, one of my friends is somebody who I actually interviewed for my podcast, you know, says that any action that you do with full awareness can actually be a form of medicine, especially with people who, you know, who have chronic disease who may not be able to exercise. It's like you can still have movement in your life and have that be a healing thing. And then, of course, there's sleep, which is, you know, sleep is really important, but it's really figuring out, like, what's the right amount of sleep for you. And then, you know, there's just what's kind of around our body. So that's just like all the cleaning products we use. Again, there's just so many products that have toxic chemicals in them. And then there's things like mold. You know, there's like black mold, I know, is a big problem in a lot of parts of the country. I think I saw a figure that there's like 80,000 chemicals that are being used in different kind of just general, you know, home products. And the vast majority of those have not been tested for their impact on, you know, on the human body. Those are just some really basic areas that we can all start to take back some control that directly impact our body and our well-being.
Well, I'm taking rapid notes here, because, you know, this is very simple, but it's actually very complex and important. I mean, I never broke it down to thinking of your body, thinking what you put in it, on it, with it, and around it. I mean, so we really need to do and make those changes that we can at a small level within our own homes. So now we talked about just an overview of what we could do for our body, talking about toxic environments. The same thing can hold true in your environment as far as people and relationships. I know that I've personally made it a point as I get older to try to exclude the toxic people, if you want to call them that, or the people that don't offer me anything or that take too much from me or that have that negative aura about them, just to move them someplace else out of my life. So what new choices can we make when it comes to relationships?
Well, I think what you just said is key, Pat. I mean, that's really one of the places to start, is just to look at, you know, how are your relationships and where do you have relationships that are toxic? Are you spending time with people who really nurture you, who accept you, who understand you, who, you know, help kind of support you? Or are you spending time with people who, you know, kind of undermine your well-being? A lot of your listeners have that kind of caretaker burnout. You know, somebody who's going through that, it's so important that they be able to have their own support system. It's like, if you're being the support for somebody else, it's so important to also have your support system. You need as much support yourself. And then, you know, this is also the realm where, you know, kind of healthcare providers come back into the equation in terms of, you know, what's your relationship with your healthcare providers? Kind of how can you shift that relationship to more one of equal power, you know, kind of recognizing their expertise, but also recognizing your own expertise and really going into those relationships with a sense of kind of equality and a sense of your own kind of knowing about what's right for you to do. You know, there's this kind of bigger level in this category too that's really about the relationship with every level of life, I guess you could say. It's the extent to which you experience meaning is in your life is the extent to which you feel like you fit at every level. So you fit in your body, you fit in your family, you fit in your community. And I particularly want to just point out kind of the connection to the earth and what do we need to do, you know, individually to really connect with the earth or to connect with animals. It's like the earth and animals can be so, you know, can provide so much healing to us. And a lot of us are really disconnected from those.
This is what you do, and I want to encourage our listeners to find you. And with that in mind, share your websites and your phone number if that's a possibility, as some folks I know choose not to use the internet, and you can be that friend for those folks.
My coaching website is juliestiles.com, and that's juliestiles.com. And business phone number is 510-779-2424. And yeah, I'm happy to work with people over the phone. I definitely do a lot through Skype and the internet, but I'm happy to work with people through the phone too. And my podcast website is aiadventures.com.
And Julie, on those websites, you've got a couple of free gifts or free information that our listeners can access. Can you share that with us as well?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Pat. There's on both websites, there's a small free gift for people that actually directly relates to what we talked about today. And on the autoimmune adventure site, aiadventures.com, the free gift is called Reclaim Your Well-Being, and it's really going through a lot of what we talked about today, and it's actually a checklist of all of the different, a lot of these different ways that you can kind of take action to take back your power over your well-being, and sign up at aiadventures.com on that list, and you'll get that free gift. And on juliestiles.com, the gift there is called Be Successful Change, and that's really more about the last part there of like, how do we really make change successfully?
Excellent. I'm going to go there and claim my free gifts. How's that?
Sounds good.
Good. Julie, you are awesome. This has just been a pleasure for me very personally.
Oh, thank you so much, Pat. It's really been a pleasure for me to talk to you too. And I just, you know, if I can give one last thought for people listening, it's just the biggest thing that any of us can do is to really learn to listen to ourselves. What is it that you need to live a healthy life and then take action on it? And that, I think, is really just the most important thing that any of us can do.
And I agree. It's a small step with a huge consequence. Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat. I really appreciate you.
It's our pleasure. And folks, don't go anywhere. There's so much more patient safety tips and tools coming up. Do you or a loved one need to rehabilitate after a hospital stay and don't know where to go? With so many choices, how do you safely choose? Well, I have the answer. The Welsh Home, located in Rocky River, Ohio. Let's spend the next 2 minutes with Lauren Teschner to get some advice. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Lauren, how does the Welsh Home help patients transition back home?
We establish goals on day one of them admitting to the Welsh Home and make sure that they can reach those goals before they go home. We do that through physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, nursing needs, and also the social work piece of it. We have a social worker on staff who's going to make sure that the patient is safe to go home, make sure that they have all the equipment in their home that they're going to need once they return home, and make sure that it's going to be a successful transition. We would never want to transition someone back to their home that we knew was not going to succeed. So we want to make sure that we do our best to accomplish their goals for a safe return home.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
You're welcome.
The Welsh Home offers state-of-the-art skilled rehabilitation therapy on-site to meet the individual needs of each and every resident. Whether you are looking for short-term or long-term care, the Welsh Home can help. And you don't have to be Welsh to call the Welsh Home your home. Call them to arrange for a tour. 440-331-0420. That's 440-331-0420. Or visit welshhome.com. Make a splash with a season pass that screams fun. Pioneer Waterland and Drive Fun Park in Chardon, Ohio has discounted season passes. Buy now and save. Family pass for $4, $195. Additional family member and individual passes discounted too. That includes a free parking pass for the entire season. Order your season passes today at pioneerwaterland.com or by phone 440-285-5200. That's 440-285-5200.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
In the restaurant, hear it sing that trendy cell phone. Nothing really matters but your cell phone. Cell phone. Cell phone.
I want to share a quick cell phone story. Recently, I stopped into a Chipotle's on the way to the radio station to tape a show. There were 27 people in line, and yes, I counted them. As they waited in silence to place their orders, each and every one of them were feverishly absorbed by their cell phones.
In the restaurant, hear it sing that trendy cell phone.
No one spoke. All you could hear was the seriously obnoxious music that many say Chipotle's is known for, except people like it. As I watched the lovemaking in front of my very eyes, I wondered out loud to Bob, what is going on here? Look at these people. They are zombies, hunched over, two-thumbed, glassy-eyed, non-speaking zombies. And I asked, is this an addiction? Should we really characterize the intense consumer devotion to the cell phone as an addiction? A recent experiment using neuroimaging technology suggests that drug-related terms like addiction and fix aren't as scientifically accurate as a word we use to describe our most cherished personal relationships. And that word is love. So I set out to research this bizarre behavior, and here is something I found. It is an op-ed that appeared in print on October 1, 2011 in the New York Times on page A21 of the New York edition with the headline, You Love Your iPhone. Literally. The author is Martin Lindstrom. He is also the author of a book, Brandwashed, Tricks Companies Use to Manipulate Our Minds and to Persuade Us to Buy. Now, in fairness, I also found others who disputed his words, but something is going on here, and I think his thoughts warrant some consideration. He writes, friends who have accidentally left home without their iPhones tell me they feel stressed out, cut off, and somehow unwhole. That sounds a lot like separation anxiety to me. Not long ago, I headed an effort to identify the 10 most powerful affecting sounds in the world. I found that a vibrating phone came in third, behind only the Intel chime and the sound of a baby giggling. Phantom vibration syndrome is the term I use to describe our habit of scrambling for cell phone we feel rippling in our pocket, only to find we are mistaken. And this is me talking. If you recall, I did a little segment on Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, on the faux cell alarm and ringxiety. All right, back to Martin. He says, similar to pressing an elevator button repeatedly in the belief that the elevator will descend sooner, we check our phones for emails and texts countless times a day, almost as if we will others to text, call, email, or Skype us. So, are our smartphones addictive, medically speaking? Some psychologists suggest that using our iPhones and Blackberries may tap into the same associative learning pathways in the brain that make other compulsive behaviors, like gambling, so addictive. As with addiction to drugs or cigarettes or food, the chemical driver of this process is the feel-good neurotransmitter dopamine. He continues, earlier this year I carried out an fMRI experiment to find out whether iPhones were really, truly addictive, no less so than alcohol, cocaine, shopping, or video games. In conjunction with the San Diego-based firm MindSign Neuromarketing, I enlisted 8 men and 8 women between the ages of 18 and 25. Our 16 subjects were exposed separately to audio and to video of a ringing and vibrating iPhone. In each instance, the results showed activation in both the audio and visual cortices of the subjects' brains. In other words, when they were exposed to the video, our subjects' brains didn't just see the vibrating iPhone, they heard it too. And when they were exposed to the audio, they also saw it. This powerful cross-sensory phenomenon is known as synesthesia. But most striking of all was the flurry of activation in the insular cortex of the brain, which is associated with feelings of love and compassion. The subjects' brains responded to the sound of their phones as they would respond to the presence or proximity of a girlfriend, boyfriend, or family member. In short, the subjects didn't demonstrate the classic brain-based signs of addiction. Instead, they loved their iPhones. As we embrace new technology that does everything but kiss us on the mouth, we risk cutting ourselves off from human interaction. For many, the iPhone has become a best friend, partner, lifeline, companion, and yes, even a Valentine. The man or woman we love most may be seated across from us in a romantic Paris bistro, but his 8GB, 16GB, or 32GB rival lies in wait inside our pockets and purses. My best advice? Shut off your phone, order some good champagne, and find love and compassion the old-fashioned way.
Cell phone, cell phone, cell phone, cell phone, cell phone.
You're listening to America's radio authority when it comes to patient safety. This is Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. And we've made it to the sometimes kooky, but always informative part of the program, and that is game time. Today we were back at it with the most requested radio game show of all time.
Shocking news from around the world.
All right, here's how it goes. I will read a healthcare-related statement. Bob and Jeremy will use their keen sense of reasoning to decide if the statement is true, or as we call it, a shock, or is it false, as we call it, a crock. So is the statement a shock?
Wow!
Or a crock?
Oh!
We'll
all right.
Find out.
We will. You guys ready?
I'm ready to be shocked.
Let's go, girl.
Are you ready to be crocked?
I don't know about that part.
Yeah, I don't know about the crock part, right. But shocked, yes.
I think I'll shock you. All right, here's the Speak Up and Stay Alive shocking news number one. Animals, such as chimpanzees, seek out medicinal herbs to treat their diseases. Is this a shock or is it a crock?
I'm going to say shock. Animals are very, very smart. They adapt well. So, yeah, I'm going to say that's a shock.
What about you, buddy?
It is definitely a shock. If you watch any type of animal, they will do that. They'll try to cure themselves with some kind of remedy.
You guys are smart. It is a shock. It's true. Yes.
Wow.
It now appears that the practice of animal self-medication is a lot more widespread than previously thought, according to a University of Michigan ecologist and his colleagues. When we watch animals foraging for food in nature, we now have to ask, are they visiting the grocery store? Or are they visiting the pharmacy? One recent study has suggested that house sparrows and finches add high nicotine cigarette butts to their nests to reduce mite infestation.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I thought that was something.
Oh, that's amazing. I can just see the mama bird like, all right, when you go out, get some more cigarettes for the house. And remember, we need a couple worms here.
Yeah, I wonder what the nutritional value of worms are.
Yeah, I don't want
to. Protein.
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps the biggest surprise was that fruit flies and butterflies choose their food for their offspring that minimizes the impacts of disease in the next generation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I find this kind of sad because that we as humans are not as smart as a fruit fly. Think of all the genetically modified food and other dangerous food items we regularly eat without giving the least bit of thought to future ramifications.
Aww.
Gosh, with that, we're going to go into the shocking news. Number two, a New York couple on their wedding night were surprised to receive a voicemail message from the city's health department informing them that they should get a hepatitis A shot as a result from the ice cream sundaes they were served at the restaurant. Is that a shock or is that a crock?
I'm going to say that is definitely a shock.
I'm going to agree. Sadly, that's probably a shock.
Yes, it is a shock.
Wow.
It is true. This happened at the Alta restaurant in the West Village in New York. Apparently, a pastry chef who had traveled to Mexico discovered she had hepatitis A after going to a doctor because she wasn't feeling well. Well, it turned out she had contracted the virus during her trip. So the tricky thing about hepatitis A is that people infected with the virus are the most infectious the first 2 weeks after they actually become ill. So in other words, they can be passing this disease on to people without even knowing that they have it. Hepatitis A, if you don't know, is a contagious liver disease and is usually spread when a person ingests, and here we go again, fecal matter, even in microscopic amounts, after coming into contact with objects, foods, or drinks contaminated by the feces of an infected person. So what does this tell you about the pastry chef?
Oh. She wasn't washing her hands.
Yep.
She didn't wash her hands properly after using the bathroom. I don't know about you guys, but I could hardly think about eating out anymore.
Yeah, and what a way to kill the mood on your wedding night. Oh,
I was going to say, I don't think that's what they had in mind for their wedding night, right?
No kids in the picture that night.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys, the Speak Up and Stay Alive shocking news. Number three, Botox injections leave people with greater feelings of happiness.
I'm going to say that is a crock.
What do you think, Bob?
I think it's a crock, too. I don't think there's any happiness to Botox.
Oh,
you guys are good. I thought you were going to say that you thought that was true, that it was a shock.
I was almost like, well, maybe they feel better. I was like, no, wait a second.
No, that is false. In fact, a study in Wales shows cosmetic injections may actually leave people feeling depressed. People with crow's feet treatment had higher feelings of depression than those who were injected only for frown lines.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do you think of that?
Could you imagine having an injection of something in your face and then looking at it and say, ooh, that looks bad?
Yeah, oh.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking maybe they don't feel happy because they can't smile because their face is so frozen.
They're like, no, I really am happy. You can't tell, but I am.
Right, yeah. I'm smiling. You can't see that. Actually, if you can't smile, then your brain doesn't know that you're happy. So the expression on our face actually affects the emotions that we feel. So everybody smiles. All listeners out there, I want to hear you smile. I heard a great big smile. Yay. Speak Up and Stay Alive. Shocking news. Number four, the caveman diet includes lots of barbecue, wings, nachos, and beer.
I'm going to have to say that's probably a shock.
I'm going to say that's a crock.
Oh, it is a crock, Jeremy.
I got you, Jeremy.
Actually, the basic premise of the caveman diet is the consumption of foods that would have been available to humans before agriculture.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you're thinking of like caveman, like just digging into
Wings, pizza, burgers.
That's the new caveman.
Yeah, really.
We're talking about the old caveman where they ate things such as lean meat, fish, eggs, vegetables, and roots and nuts. This diet is believed to prevent chronic disease such as type 2 diabetes, obesity, and heart disease that are associated with today's diet. Think you're going to switch diets, Jeremy, from the new caveman to the old caveman?
I think I'll do a mixture of both a little bit.
Bob's laughing at you.
Oh.
All right.
Have another chocolate brownie.
I know, as my brownie sits next to me. Busted.
It's our fault. Sorry about that. All right, the Speak Up and Stay Alive shocking news number 5. Seniors in the South are more apt to be prescribed risky drugs. Is that a shock or is it a crock?
I'm going to say it's a shock.
What do you think, Jeremy?
That one's tough. You know, I have family back east, and they're always talking about, oh, the doctors up here, trust me, they're the best. Those people down there, they don't know. I'm going to go crock. I'm going to go for that.
All right. Well, actually, it is a shock.
Wow. 3 up on me now, Bob.
You lost your pants.
It's over.
It is true. According to a study published in the Journal of General Internal Medicine, people in the South, especially Southeast, are especially vulnerable. More than 1/3 of seniors are taking drugs that they should avoid. 10% are taking 2 or more. The people prescribed risky drugs were most likely to be poor, white, and female. So why are Southerners more likely to be given risky meds? It could be that patients are asking for them. Or it could be that doctors there are more apt to stick with old prescribing habits.
Hmm.
But whatever the reason, it's a marker for poor quality health care. What's the take-home message again?
Don't take drugs.
Research, research, research.
You got it. Take ownership of your health. Make an appointment with your pharmacist or your doctor to review all medications you take. Remember, you've got to squeak up and stay alive. Oh, that's the wrong game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Aww. Sorry, guys. Well, thank you guys for playing the only radio game in the world that delivers both a shock and a crock, and it's called...
Shocking News from Around the World.
Well, Jeremy, I think Bob won the game today.
Yeah, he beat me pretty handily today.
And I didn't even know the question.
Very impressed.
I know, I'm impressed as well. Thank you, guys. Coming up, more of what you've come to expect from America's favorite healthcare and survival radio show, Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio.
Wow.
Busted.
Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio is proud to introduce our most recent sponsor, Zoar Village Golf Course. Find out more at speakupandstayalive.com.
For years now, a lot of you have been driving down I-77 to play at Zoar Village Golf Course. Thank you for the 40 years of support. And if you haven't been here, we'd like to invite you to come see why we've been called a must-play course for Northeast Ohio golfers. Superintendent Eric Crone's greens are always stellar, too. The pro shop is stocked and the snack bar features great food. Check us out at zoarvillagegolf.com.
Tired of the same old presentations?
Can you forward to slide 38, please?
Are you looking for a new, out-of-the-box topic for your next event?
Want your group to leave inspired, informed, and satisfied?
No PowerPoint presentations and dim lights here. No snoring or snoozing goes on during Pat's presentations. To help your entire group, organization, business, or church stay safe during any healthcare or hospital experience, invite Pat to speak. Pick a topic from her website or request your own. Visit her website, speakupandstayalive.com, or call Pat to discuss how she can make your next event fun, enlightening, and life-saving.
Want testimonials?
Go to the bulletin board link at the website for color pictures and comments from real people. Again, it's speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462.
You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, the only show of its kind. And I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, as well as author of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. I wrote the book to really help folks understand the dangers of a hospital stay. After my mom's 4-month ordeal, where I witnessed everything from a 100-year-old doctor who wandered into her room and proceeded to clean a giant bedsore with my Clorox bleach wipes that were hidden behind a curtain on the windowsill, to an entire wing of the rehabilitation facility run by aides with no training, to nurses using hand sanitizer instead of washing their hands while my mom had C. diff, not knowing that the sanitizer did nothing to kill the germs, to on and on and on. I had to get this out of me and onto paper so that hopefully no one else would have to endure what we did. So each week when I ask you to purchase a copy of the book, it's not because it's a moneymaker. It's not. I will never recoup the time and expense that went into this, and that's not the point. The point is for you to have something, a guide, a physical object that you could not only read, but also bring to the hospital with you. Lay it on the tray table. This is your visual cue that tells everyone who enters your room that you are concerned, informed, watching. You've got to stand out by being armed with knowledge. And the book on the tray table is the signal that tells everyone that you are not like everyone else. So get a copy today. It's only $20, and you can find it at the website, speakupandstayalive.com. Or you can call by phone, 440-725-5462. 440-725-5462. I really encourage you to have your own copy. In the meantime, check out my new internet radio station. It's called the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. And you can find that at the website, speakuptalkradio.com. Speakuptalkradio.com. Makes sense. You'll also find some very cool programming. We're building the lineup and adding new shows, so be sure to visit often, speakuptalkradio.com. Well, that's all we have time for today, so think about our show this week and take some small steps to improve your health and take back your power. And I'll see you next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. I hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from spies, pop-up ads, and Big Brother. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're awesome.
She's awesome.
You.
Isn't she awesome?
Awesome.